Gemara Makot. Masechet Makot has been donated anonymously in honor of Morris Dweck, Sammy Esses, Yaron Mizrahi, and Tuvi Asis for their endless work for the Kahal Kadosh, Bet Yaakov. May Hashem give them continued strength in order to serve the Kahal and the community, the Shem Shamayim, in good health and prosperity and shalom. Amen. Daf Zayim. Today's daf is being studied. Living Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Terechem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. For Ash Shelema, Dina Bat Sara, Edna Refanala. Fata Nefesh, Fata Guf, Fata Karabal, Bo Vechedir, Asof, Anamad. Amen. We begin today's daf on Vav Amud Bet. And we are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom, quoting a quote from the Mishnah, Rabbi Yose Omer. Rabbi Yose taught in the Mishnah, it says, Al pi shnayim edim. So you learn from that pasuk that the witnesses themselves have to be the one that gives the hatra'ah, that gives the warning. As opposed to other shitot that say you can have a guy standing in the middle giving hatra'ah or a shed or whatever it is. No, they're saying the witnesses themselves have to give the warning. So Gemara says, Amar le Rabbi Abaye, Umi ite le Rabbi Yose, Hai sevara. Does Rabbi Yose indeed hold of that sevara that the witnesses have to give the warning? Vatenan Rabbi Yose Omer, Hasone Neherag, Mepedeshu Kimuad Umutre. It says, a sone, an enemy of somebody that kills, he doesn't need hatra'ah. He already is considered mutre ve'omed, as if he has a standing hatra'ah already. Which means, he cannot come along and say after, oh, by the way, I did it by mistake. Say, no, no, you're a soneh, you're his enemy. We're not going to accept that claim, which means, one of the purposes of giving the hatra'ah is to establish that the guy's on purpose, he's mezid. Because always a guy, after he does something, a crime, he come along and say, oh, I didn't know, I was by mistake. So the hatra'ah says, listen, you know if you do this, you're going to get this and that, and you're going to be ayyab mita and all that. So soneh, an enemy, even without a hatra'ah, he can't come after the bit and say, oh, you know, it was by mistake. No, it wasn't my mistake. So therefore you see what Nabi Yosef holds, you don't need a hatra'ah. In the case of a soneh, you don't need a hatra'ah. Now Mishnah claimed you what? You indeed need a hatra'ah. The witnesses have to give a hatra'ah. But then you see Nabi Yosef says, you don't need a hatra'ah. Soneh, for example, doesn't need a hatra'ah. So comes Gemara and says, Amar le'ahu Rabbi Yose bar Yehudahi. That shita of a soneh, that's a different Rabbi Yose. That's Rabbi Yose bar Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yose bar Yehuda Omer, Haver en sari hatra'ah. He says also that a haver, a tamid hakam, doesn't need hatra'ah. The fishelo nitna hatra'ah, el lavchin ben shogeg lemezid. What's the whole purpose of hatra'ah? To discern between unintentional and intentional. So a Tamir Chacham, you know he knows the law. We think a Tamir Chacham knows all the Tanakh Mitzvot. So a Tamir Chacham doesn't need a Hatra'ah. Because for sure if a Tamir Chacham did it, he knew what he was doing. He knew the law. So therefore the Biyosef and the Biyudah hold, just like a Soneh doesn't need a Hatra'ah, Chaveh doesn't need a Hatra'ah. But the Biyosef HaMishnah holds, no, you always have to have the Hatra'ah coming from the Edim themselves. That's two different the Biyosefs. Okay. Haver, whatever criterion is a haver, he doesn't need hatra'ah. So comes the Gemara and says, Davar acher, apishnaim edim, shelot tesanadim shomar bepetur geman. We learned also apishnaim edim, the Mishnah taught us, that the bedin cannot listen to the witnesses through a interpreter. Apishnaim edim has to come from the mouths of the edim themselves to have to hear the edim. That's why it says the Bedin, they were fluent in 70 languages. Because any language that the Edim come, they have to be fluent. So Gemara says, Hanehu la'uzi, da'atu lekameh de Rava. There were witnesses, foreigners, they came in front of Rava. Foreign, they spoke a foreign language. She says, Ba'alei lashon acheret. And the Dayanim did not recognize. Uki Rava turgeman ben ayu. So Rava put an interpreter between them. How do you do that? Ratenan, Shalot Tesanadin Shomam, Mepia Turgeman. We just learned in Amishtah that it cannot listen to Turgeman. Ravam, Eda, Hava, Yada, Mad, Havi, Amre. He knew what they were saying. Ve'ahadure hu delo Hava, Yada. He didn't know how to answer them. He was fluent in understanding the language, but he wasn't so fluent in speaking the language. So therefore the interpreter was not to interpret what they were saying. It was to reply back to them at different questions and things like that. So therefore that's mutar. Il'a v'tuvia kirbe de'arba hava. Oh. These two witnesses came to court. Il'a and Tuvia. They were related to the guarantor of the loan. Now, if they were related to the actual Malveh and the Loveh that they're coming to testify on, for sure they're pasu, because they're cut off. You don't have to be related to the litigants. Here it's a little different. They weren't related to the actual parties, the Malveh and the Loveh, the borrower and the lender. They were related to the guarantor who guaranteed the loan. Now, mind you, we're talking about a case also where the lender, where the borrower had money to pay. So you didn't need the guarantor in this case over here. So it wasn't like they were activating the guarantor. The guarantor was just there. So it says, Savara papa le memar, gabe lo veu malve, rehiki ninu. So the papa said, listen, le gabe the primary people of the loan, the malve and the love, they're not related, they're far, they're distant, therefore it's kasher. Amma le ravuna bere davi Yoshua le papa, ilet le le love, lav batar arva azil malve. If the Lovei didn't have money, where's the Malvei going to? He's going to the Arev, he's going to the guarantor. So the guarantor is party to the situation. Even though right now, in this case, you don't need him. But since, potentially, if the Malvei can't get paid by the Lovei, he's going to the Arev. Therefore, the Arev is considered like the Lovei. And therefore, if they're related, it is going to be Pasul. So the Mahlok to the rabbis, if the witnesses are related to an Arev, even in a case where he's not activated or needed, is the testimony good or not? And we had a Mahlok. Talaka is, cannot be related to the Arev. The witnesses cannot be related to the Arev. Okay, Mishnah. Tosfot, tap Tosfot, Mikan, Desh, Zahir, Ba'adim, Amod, Shlo, Yu, Kirubim, Vedo, Lelove, Vedo, Le'arev. Misha, Nigmar, Dino. Okay, guy was sentenced in a bed din. Ubarah. He ran away. Ubal ifne oto bed din. They came back to that bed din. En sotrin et dino. They do not retry him. Rashi, lahzor velisa veliten ulay zakeh. Maybe you could say, v'etzilu et ha'eda, you have to save victims and murderers. Once he was convicted in a bed din, and bring him back to this Beddin, they don't say, oh, you're back again, okay, let's try to do it all over again. That's it. Once he's sentenced. There's no such thing as Sotrim et Dino. They don't do it again. Mehadash, they don't start over again. Kol makom shi'amdu shnayim. Two guys come along and testify. V'yomru, mi'aydim anu b'ish peloni, shenigmar dino b'beddin shel peloni. We said, listen, the two guys come along and say, see this guy over here? He was sentenced in this witness, in this court. Uploni, uploni, edav. And so-and-so are the witnesses. Hareze yehareg. Kill him. Because they testify that there was a sentencing, and they're giving details. This beddin, this edim. Finish. That's enough testimony in order to kill the guy. Okay. They got to give the details. Who are the witnesses? Why? Because any testimony has to be ra'ui for hazama. For a testimony to be a good testimony, you have to be able to make hazama on the witnesses. So if you don't know who the witnesses are, then I should have to make hazama. So we say, at 2 o'clock on Monday the 13th, in the such and such a court, Reuven and Shimon were the witnesses, they went and they testified against this guy, and he was sentenced. So now, if technically somebody says, oh, Reuven and Shimon, Monday the 13th, whatever, they were with us. So since they're able to become huzam, because the information was given, that's considered a legitimate testimony, and you'll kill the guy based on the testimony. Sanhedrin noheget ba'aretz u'b'chutz la'aretz. Okay, it's hadush. Sanhedrin applies in Israel and in chutz la'aretz as well. Of course, the rabbis need to get their simicha from Eretz Yisrael, but once they get the simicha from Eretz Yisrael, they can go establish courts, even on sides. They can murder also. They can not murder. They can kill. They can judge capital punishment cases, just like they're judging in on sides. So long as the Sanhedrin is in Israel. So long as Sanhedrin Gedolah in Eretz Yisrael, they're allowed to establish courts on the Haaretz. Once already the Sanhedrin is dismantled in Eretz Yisrael, you cannot have courts in Chutz La'aretz that are put in capital punishment. Sanhedrin, ha'oreket achat b'shavua, nikret chomlanit. A Sanhedrin that kills even once in 7 years is considered a chomlanit, an injurious court. Too tough. It means once in 7 years is already is a lot. Why? Because really the Beit Din is supposed to be expert in trying to get him off. Because the Torah says v'etzilut ha'eda, that the ha'eda has to try to save the victim. We don't want to have too much capital punishment cases. So see, even one in 7 years is already a lot if somebody dies. Right? They have to try to figure out ways to save him, which means obviously they're not expert enough in the law. That's why they consider chublanit. Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah omer ahat l'shiv'im shana. Oh, what I'll explain what that means. Once in 70 years, as if to say, even once in 70 years, if Beit Din kills somebody, it's a lot. Rabbi Tarfum Rabbi Akiva omerim ilu ainu b'sanedrin lo neherag adam me'olam. Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva said, if we were on the Sanhedrin, nobody would ever get killed. Because we know how to interrogate the witnesses in such a way, they wouldn't be able to answer our questions, and the case would be thrown out. We have ways to always interrogate in a way where they'll be stuck. That's the next line. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, Af Hen Marbin Shofchei Damim B'Yisrael. By doing that, they're going to promote murderers in Israel. Because if murderers know that they can get away with in the court, so therefore they're going to be, they're not going to have any deterrent for murdering. Because they know, they go to the court and they're going to get the patur. So there has to be a balance of some sort. That she says, so again, there has to be a balance of Bedin cannot never kill anybody, but it shouldn't be that common. So comes Gemara and says, we learned in the beginning of our Mishnah, if a guy finished and was sentenced in one court, and he ran away, and then was brought back to that court, they don't retry him. So the diyuk is, in that court, they don't retry him. But let's say he was brought back to a different court. Sounds like if he gets brought back to a different court, they will retry him. That's the diyuk. So you get what, on the same case. Kamara says, "Lifnei oto bedin, who the en sotrin? Halifnei bedin achayer sotrin." Only problem is that contradicts our Mishnah. Well, because what did it say in the second case of the Mishnah? Hatani sefa. We learned in the sefa. Kol makom sheyamdu shnayim veyomru meedim anu et ish pedoni shenigmar dinu bebedin pedoni upedoni upedoni edav harizeh neherag. Which means two witnesses come to a bedin, a different bedin. And listen, this guy over here was sentenced in that bedin over there, and these are his witnesses, and this was the situation. They kill him on the spot. What do you mean? According to Amishnah, it's mashma. Once you bring brought to another bedin, you can retry the case. So why did you say in the second part of the Mishnah that when two witnesses go to bedin B and they testify, listen, this guy was sentenced in bedin A, and these are the witnesses, you kill him? So what I says, I want to be here, lakashia. It depends. Depends if you're in Israel or if you're in Chutz La'aretz. What does that mean? The Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda ben Dostai Omer Mishmin Rabbi Shimon ben Shattach Barach Me'aretz Chutz La'aretz En Sotrin Edino Barach Me'chutz La'aretz La'aretz Sotrin Edino Le'zichuta Shel Eretz Yisrael. The guy, let's say, was sentenced in Israel, and he runs away to Chutz La'aretz, to outside of Israel. You don't overturn the case. But if he was in Chutz La'aretz and he was judged, and he runs away now and he goes to a court in Eretz Yisrael, the court in Eretz Yisrael will retry the case. Why? Because there's a concept of Zechut Eretz Yisrael. Now she says, what do you mean Zechut Eretz Yisrael? Ulay to'il limtso lo petach shel Zechut. Eretz Yisrael, Avira de Eretz Yisrael, Machkim, the air is makes a person wiser, and therefore maybe the judges in Eretz Yisrael would have a Zechut to find a way to exonerate. So just because you were found guilty in Chutz La'aretz, could be in Eretz Yisrael, they'll have Si'atad Shmaya, we'll be able to find a way to exonerate. If you go from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, sorry, from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, once already you were found guilty in Eretz Yisrael, you go to a different court, in Chutz La'aretz, it's too late. If in Eretz Yisrael they couldn't find a way out, in Chutz La'aretz they're not going to find a way out. So that's the Chinuch. So our Mishnah that says that only if he goes back to the same court, they don't do it over. But if he goes to a different court, they do. That's in Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. And that would have said at the end of the Mishnah, that even if he goes back to a different court, they don't retry. There's no matter from Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz. Zechutad Eretz Yisrael, Ad Kedekach. Zechutad Yisrael gives the Dayanim koach to find different ways to exonerate somebody that was judged even already. Okay. To'id limso lo petah. Okay, Gemara. Sanhedrin noheget. We said that the Sanhedrin is noheget. Ben ba'aretz. Ben bechutz la'aretz. Minan emile. Detan urabbanan. Vehayu elle lachem lechukat mishpat adorotechem. You gotta really get the end of the pasuk for that. The end of the pasuk is bechol moshmotechem. That's the key. Bechol moshmotechem. That you will have courts in all of your dwellings. All of your dwellings even means chutz la'aretz. Lamadnu lesanhedrin shenoheget ba'aretz or bechutz la'aretz. אם כן, מה תמוד לומר בשעריך? זה שופטים ושוטרים תתן לך בכל שעריך. In your gates. It's much more only in ארץ ישראל. בשעריך אתה מושיב בתי דינים בכל פלח ופלח ובכל עיר ועיר. חוץ לארץ אתה מושיב בכל פלח ופלח. ואתה מושיב בכל עיר ועיר. That's the amount of course that you have to set up. In ארץ ישראל, you have to set up in every town and every city. But in the Chutz La'aretz, let's say in every city, but not in every town. She says, not as many courts as mandated in Chutz La'aretz than there it is in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say every 120 people, you have a village or a town, you have to have a Bet Din. Sheikh in Chutz La'aretz, only in Be'irim, in the big cities, let's say you have to have a Bet Din. Okay. Sedina Oreket, Ibailu. Now we said, once every 7 years is Hublanit. That's already a Hublanit. It's a injurious Bedin. It's a Bedin that's too strict. So then Rabbi Akiva, one of the rabbis who came, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer bin Azariah. No. Rabbi Eliezer bin Azariah made a Hadla Shiv'im Shana.
No. Rabbi Eliezer bin Azariah.
I'm reading the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer bin Azariah omer ahad l'shivim shana. So they said what? He said, once every 70 years. Once every 70 years, what? He didn't say what, so it was every 70 years. So Gemara says, Ibaidu, ahad l'shivim shana nekut chablanit, o dilma o lacharai. Is it considered chablanit, or maybe that's normal? What would you say? As if you're saying, first rabbi said, once every 7 years, chablanit. And then Rabbi Eliezer bin Azariah says, once every 70 years. Was it, what, once every 70 is normal? Or once every 70 is Homlarit? Gemara says Tiku. Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva Omrim, Iluainu. If we were in the Bet Din, nobody would ever get killed. We'd always figure out a way to exonerate. Hechi Havu Avde. What would they do? What was their method? What was their technique? Rabbi Hanan, Rabbi Elazar, Tamri Tarbayu. Re'item terefa harag, shalem harag. Guy comes into it and says, we saw this guy, Reuven, he murdered Shimon. That's it. The witnesses are solid. After the testimony, they saw it. The rabbi would ask them, did you check to make sure that Shimon was healthy? Maybe Shimon that was killed was a terefa. Maybe he was going to die anyway. Maybe he had an internal wound that put him in a situation where he was going to die within 12 months anyway. And Alakha says, if you kill somebody that has a terefa, You're not chayav. Let's say he had a hole in his trachea. There's a terevah. Guy can't live like that more than 12 months. So anybody that comes on the murder case, you ask him, did you check if he was a terevah? Most people don't know how to check if he's a terevah. Most people don't do that. So then he says like this. Amar Vashe, im tumsir lomar shalem ava. If they come along and say, yeah, we checked him out, he was shalem. Still get him off the hook. Dilma b'mkom sayif nekev ava. How do you know? Maybe where the sword punctured the guy, maybe there was a blemish in that spot before the sword went there. Now you can't check him. Because now the sword is there. You have no idea if it was the sword that did it or the blemish was there from before. They can't answer that question. You're right, we don't know. There was, if we were on the Beit Din, we asked him this question, nobody would ever get killed. They would exonerate. Not every case, but in most cases. Question is like this. Tosfot's question is, why don't you go after Rov? Have a general rule, go after Rov. Most people don't have a nikiv, most people don't have a nikiv in the spot where the sword was. And therefore, why can't you just kill him? You have witnesses, they're testifying, you have a Rov. Why can't you kill according to the Rov? You won't be able to check. That's why I say we could always exonerate everybody. It's exactly the point. They're not going to check, they don't know how to check, they don't know what they're looking for. So if we were on the Beit Din, nobody would ever get killed for a murder case. So Tosfot is asking, why not? That question doesn't mean anything. By the way, you have two Edim, you have a Rov. So therefore you can kill on a Tosfot, so you can kill on a Rov. So because it says, V'arei ha-gemara cholin, mochiha, medin ze gufa, shekvat Torah shevgim notseach, which is, and from the fact that the Torah says we kill a notseach, that means we go after Rov. The Gemara cholin is la'ayad, how do we know we kill on a Rov, is from this Gemara. That we see that the Beit Din, if the two witnesses come into Beit Din and say, Ploni, Reuven killed Shimon, we kill Reuven. We don't say, maybe Shimon was a terrified. You assume what? Rov. So what's the shayla over here? Just kill him on the Rov. So he says like this. The Ramban asked this question already. The Ritba asked this question. He says, he says, internal wounds you don't have to suspect. On internal wounds you can assume Rov. ורק על מומים חיצוניים היו שואלים אותם. On external wounds. כיוון שזה דבר שאפשר לבדוק. וכן אין לסמוך בו על הרוב. When do you rely on the rov? On something that you don't check. That's internal. But on external wounds, if they didn't check, you can, מסתמה. No, it's something you can discern yourself. And I guess most people, witnesses, they don't check the body like instead of like an autopsy after the, even on their external wounds. So they would ask him, did you see any wounds on the body that make him a tereva? I didn't see. And there's a rov, there's no rov. Something you could see with your own eyes, you don't rely on the rov. Rabbi Rutam mevaer, שאכן אילו לא היו בדי שואלים את העדים אם היה עורק תרפא ושאלים היו סומכים על הכלל מוברוגים את הרוסע. ולאחר, אולם לאחר שכן שאלו אותם על עניין זה ולא יכול העדים להשיב, העדות נפסיד כיוון שאינם יודעים פרט נושא המשך לגוף העדות. Another answer. Another answer to what says like this. You're right. If Beit Din wouldn't interrogate, you'd kill him on a rov. Once Beit Din asks the question, but now they got an answer. Because now Edim cannot say, I don't know, on something that's germane to the testimony. So that was the Biakivaz and the Mitzvah Hadus. We'll ask him the question. Normally, if you didn't ask a question, stop. The Uvek comes along and says, the witnesses, the Uvek killed Shimon. We interrogate them to make sure that they emit and all that. Without asking too many other questions, you kill Shimon. Maybe he's a Terefa, Rov. But once you ask the question, do you know if he was a Terefa? They can't say, we don't know. Now already you're answering you don't know to a question that's a major to the case. That's the way the Rabbeinu Tam says. Olam, Tosfot to'anim she'en kol sevara bezeh. Tosfot doesn't like it. He says, what's the difference? He says, גם כשלא שואלים אותם שאלה, יש להניח שהם לא בדקו את גופו ואינם יודעים. What's the difference if you don't ask them? You could assume that they don't know. Because most of the witnesses don't know what they're looking for, don't know how to check. אלא מפרשים את תוספות כוונת הגמרא של רבי תבל והקיבה היו מרבים בבדיקת העדים בפרטים. The point is they would ask so many details שקשה להבחין בהם בראייה רגילה. על שבדרך כלל היו עדים מגיעים להכחיש את זה בפרט אחד. Which means you just bombard them with questions to get them to contradict each other. eventually ask so many questions, details, they're going to sotter each other. ואז הייתה דותם נפסדת. לפי הסבר זה, אם היה טרפה או שלם, it's a dugma. According to those words, this wasn't the real question. They're just showing you, he would ask them such detailed questions, like, oh, was it a terefa? But this is not the real question. Because this question you have to ask. This question, without it, it's a terefa, you're going off on that. Ela, they would ask him similar questions. According to those words, this is only an example of the details that were asked. Right, exactly. Not that this question is a question, really, because this question doesn't matter, because it's rough. But such technical questions eventually trip them up. All right, see that you're so dead. You said white, you said blue, okay, why? I'll throw them out. Okay, that's in a murder case. How are you going to get a guy off in an arayot case? What are you going to ask him? The guy's a terefah, doesn't matter, terefah. He committed arayot. Guy went to Eshet Ish. Who do I care if she's a terefah? אביי ורבא דמי תרוויו ראיתם כמחול בשפופרת. Did you see the stick go into the mascara tube? Which means they ask him, did you actually see the maaseh? You have to actually see the action itself. And she says, now ve'en edim מסתכלים בכך. Edim don't look at the actual bi'ah. שפופרת קנה חלוד שנותנים בו כחול, they put mascara in the tube, וכחל את העיניים to put on the eyes, מחול הוא כיסם, דק, and the מחול is the stick that they put in, שבו נותנים את סימא בתוך הקנה. So they ask him such a question over there, which, of course they don't look at that. So how they can know that over there?
They don't have to see that.
According to Rabbi Akiva Mitafon, they have to see that.
Right.
But Rabbanan, what do the rabbis do that didn't hold like this? Obviously, the only Akiva, you just have to see them together. Echidainu, how do they judge a case like that? Because anybody sees the kahal going to the shofaret. Kishmuel, Shmuel, bimnaafim, mishirau kimnaafim. You don't have to see the actual stick going into the tube. It's enough just to see kederecha bimnaafim. You see them together. You can assume already that that is a bi'ah, question of banah. No, we all have the actual see. Who's going to see such a thing? Very hard to see the actual item. So therefore, did you? Now, Tosfot on the bottom has a question over here. Tosfot has a question. What about all the other avirot? That's the bottom Tosfot. What about Avodah Zarah? Hilul Shabbat? Hi, you're right. On arayot and on netzicha, you get off like this. But what about Avodah Zarah? I wish Avodah Zarah. Well, now what? You have to kill him. So he says, "Ela shavirot, ela inam shchichot kol kach." Okay, not so common those avirot. Or every avira, they had patent questions to get them off. The Gemara is only giving you two examples by Avodah Zarah. I mean, by Netziha and Arayot. In Shabbat, they had also a way to ask him a question to knock him off. In Avodah Zarah, they also had a way to knock him off as well. Okay, Hadran Alach. Okay, now we go to the second perek. Now we start the second perek of Masechet Makot, famous perek that talks about the laws of Eid Miklat, the person that kills somebody b'shogeg, which is oversimplifying it, obviously, because there's many, many details. But a guy, somebody kills his friend b'shogeg, unintentionally, we'll see what that means, unintentionally, so he has to run to a city of refuge, it's called the Eid Miklat, and he has to live there until the Kohen Gadol dies, that is his tikkun. So now the Mishnah begins. Eluhen Hagolin. Okay, these are the people over here that go to Galut. Ha'oreg nefesh v'shgaga. Okay, straightforward. Person kills somebody v'shogeg. Haya me'agel b'ma'gila. The olden days had their roofs. The roofs were flat, but they also had to make them pitched a little so the rain will fall off. So they would have a roller. So they would roll the tar in order to make it smooth. So they would roll it in two positions. They would roll down to make the incline, and they roll back up. Ma'agil b'ma'agila means you're in the down position. You're pushing down, right, towards the ground. And Moshech would be you're going towards yourself. So the Mishnah is going to tell us a din. You only hayav galut in an unintentional murder if it is derech yirida. If it happened on the way down. So if I am ma'agil b'ma'agila, he was smoothing it and his hand was going down and the thing fell out of his hand and fell off the roof and killed somebody, then he's going to be hayav galut. But if he was Moshech, if he went this way and it slipped and it went and killed somebody, then it's not going to be hayav. Hayam, Agib, Magid. The only reason Rashi gives you a whole story about these roofs. Taqin, Ayuga, Gotem, Betit. They used to tar their roofs with tar, smoothen them. Vagagot, Ayuga, Shupain. It wasn't slanted. If it was slanted, you got to tar it. It's slanted already like this. Avala, Tit, Mishapi'an, Mi'at. The teeth would make it slanted. Kedishi, Yazuru, Amaim. So the water slides off. Vitaqin, Otobe, Hatichat, Aetz, Ava. They would take like a thick piece of wood. Vahalka, and smooth. Uba betyar had a handle on it. The dohafa the tzad shipua, and they push it towards the incline, and they go down. The chozir moshka elav, then he goes up. The chozir the dohafa v'atit metmaraya, and the teeth becomes smooth, and it scatters around, becomes smooth. Umachlik b'dohafato koreu ma'agil. When you're pushing it down, it's called ma'agil. Umishchitato koreu moshech. V'shem ha'etz ma'agila. The name of the wood is called a ma'agil. So ma'agil b'ma'agila. You're going down with the ma'agila. ונפלה עליו ורקתו. Okay, next case. היה משלשל בחבית ונפלה עליו ורקתו. Guys letting down a barrel from the roof. משלשל. With the rope. He's letting the barrel down with the rope. The rope snapped. And the barrel came and killed the guy. היה יורד בסולם. Or the guy's coming down a ladder. ונפל עליו ורקתו. And he, one of the rungs fell. He tripped. And he landed on the guy. הרי זה גולה. So all these cases over here. He indeed is going, because again, the common denominator is he's going down. She says, "Aya yored aorek besulam v'nafam rasam v'arak begufo et havero." Not the rung came loose and killed him. The guy himself. Tuklari derech yirida ninu. V'gebe galut derech yirida ba'ina. That's the rule in the Gemara. Aval im ayam moshech b'ma'agila v'nafla ala v'arakto. If he was pulling the ma'agila up. Oh, he was pulling the barrel up to the roof. He was going up on the ladder. Here's the rule. Okay, so those rules over here. Oh, so we'll see all these cases are going to come into the B and D in the Gemara. Has to be Derech Yirida. We brought three cases over here. Now what do you need three cases to teach you the same rule over here? Basically teach me Yirida. You have the Ma'agel case, you have the barrel case, and you have the ladder case. So he says over here, he brought three cases because each one is Mosif and Naksh Hadush. If the Torah just would, if the Pashtun would have just given me the case of the Ma'agil, I would say he should have been extra careful. Yeah. However, Mishalshel Habit Me'agag, for sure he's careful.
Yeah, this I don't understand.
For sure he's careful. And therefore I can say it's Patur because I can say it's
the rope broke.
You're right. So therefore a person is more careful when he's putting a barrel down. So I would have said, if the rope broke, it's onus. Maybe it's like out of his control. Kamash Malan, even in that case over there, where he is careful, if the thing broke, he's considered shogeg. And the third case is, even where he himself is coming down on the ladder, where he's definitely careful that he doesn't hurt anybody, still, he's still going to be hayav galut. So each case is a more careful situation, and still, we don't say it's an accident, if it's patur, because there's different levels. There's mizid, there's shogeg, and it's onus. This is out of his control. Something happened without him even knowing. So it was like, even though he could have controlled it and all that, you might think he's he was being careful, and it happened. Kamashu, I still consider a shogeg. Okay. Let's go to the Gemara. Gemara begins. Mina nemile. What are we looking for? How do you know that דווקא דרך ירידה אמר שמואל דאמר קירה ויפל עליו וימות. It says he fell on him and he died. עד שיפול דרך נפילה ויפל בעזרת הכתוב. It's got to be derech nefila. The guy or the chifetz or the item, whatever it is, whatever fell on the guy, the guy himself or the object. So gezalta katuv. Okay, taru rabanan. We have a braita. It says the pasuk bishkaga. He did a bishkaga bibli daat. What does shkaga mean? What is bibli da'at, without knowledge? What is doresh? Tanu rabbanan. Bishkaga prat lemezid. Okay. If I did it intentionally, there's no galut. Bibli da'at prat lemitkaven. Bibli da'at is coming to exclude a case of mitkaven, if he killed the kavana. Well, what's the difference between mezid and kavana? It's the same thing. You know what I was going to explain? Mezid, pshita, barkatadahu. We told him, of course, a mezid guy doesn't go to galut. You kill him. If a guy kills the mezid, he's a murderer. Death penalty. What do you mean? He doesn't go to galut. Well, of course, he doesn't go to galut. He says, "Amarava ema prat leomer mutar," which is he did it be kavana because he thought you're allowed to kill. Okay. It's karov lemezid. It's karov lemezid. Bishkaga. Was totally a shigaga. He did it on purpose, thinking that it's mutar. That already is no good. You can't kill him for that, because he thought it was mutar. He didn't know. There was no witness. There was no hatra'a. There was no nothing. So therefore, in such a case, let's go to galut. The omer mutar savush mutar laroket Israel. Vezem mezid shelo. He's a mezid in thinking that it was mutar to kill.
Between
mezid and you can ask that question. How do you know? He didn't know. The guy was born wherever he was born. He didn't know. You can have to murder. He thought it was about to murder. Whatever it is, he didn't know about the tzar. Yeah, he thought he could take the law into his own hands. He thought he's doing zealotry. Omer mutar. So therefore, he's a mezid. The guy he's killing, but he's thinking I'm allowed. So therefore, the dafka has to be a shogeg. Shogeg, which means he didn't have an intention to kill Bechlau. But this guy had intention to kill. He just thought it was mutar. That guy doesn't go to galut. Amar Abaye, he omer mutar, anusu. Correct. You don't call that guy a mezid. It says shogeg, prat le mezid. Where's the mezid of it? If he did it on kavanah, because he thought it's mutar. If he thinks it's mutar, he's anus. That's not called mezid. It's totally Anus, he thought he's doing it permissible. Amale she'ani omer ha'omer mutar karov lemezid hu. He's no, I call an omer mutar guy karov lemezid. Why? Because they should have learned, he should have known. You can't say ignorance is not already an excuse to make you an onus. I consider ignorance omer mutar. You're close to a mezid, but you're not a mezid because you already thought it was mutar. It's like mezid means I know it's asur. I don't care. I'm killing him anyway. Oh, that guy, you kill him. Shogeg case is the guy he didn't intend. He didn't intend to kill. It was a mistake. The thing fell out of his hand. Oh, that's shogeg. But not in the mezid where he's killing intentionally, thinking that it's mutar. So that guy over there is considered a mezid. Comes again and says bibli da'at. One more point. Bibli da'at. Prat limit kavin. Mitkaven, pshita, barkatadahu. Back to the same question. Yeah. If he kills somebody by kavana, he's a rotzaya, memezid. He's chayav mita. Well, of course, you don't go to galut. Amarava, prat, the mitkaven, look at the behema, the haragata adam. Which means he thought there's an animal over there. So he's saying, I'm going to kill this animal. He shot the arrow. Turns out there was a guy standing there. So prat, the mitkaven, meaning mitkaven, harog. Ze Bema Vearag Ahir. What I was standing next to each other, I'd say. He aimed for the animal and he ended up killing this over here. Likuti. He aimed for the Kuti. Vearag it Israel. And he ended up killing it. He said, Lenefil. Or a Nefil is a child that's not gonna live anyway. Vearag bin Kayama. And he ended up killing a child that was viable. So Bibli Da'at. Meaning his Kavanah was not to kill at all. It's different than the other case. The other case is Prat Nemezid is Kavanah was to kill. He just thought it was Mutar. Here it's Bibli Da'at. He didn't have Kavanah at all to kill. He was aiming for an animal. Bibli Da'at. He didn't intention to kill, intend to kill at all. Those guys don't go to Galut at all. Patur, if you kill Kuti, Patur. You're not chayav. You're not chayav on these mitot. All these cases, if you would kill the nefil, if you would kill the goy, kuti, if you would kill the behemah, you're not chayav mita. If you're in a mitkaven to somebody, you're not be chayav mita. On you mitkaven for that, so they're going to be patur. Look at that, she.
These cases are the mitkaven case, not the bebidat.
That's a bebidat case. Bibli-da'at. Prat le-mit-kaven. Correct. Mit-kaven le-zeh v'l-harag le-zeh. No, one more point. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay. We continue the story. It says in the Pasuk by Hir Meklat, V'im befeta belo eva hadafo o eshlik alav kol keli belo sidiya. Okay. Mepeta means what? Suddenly. Belo eva. He didn't hate the guy. Hadafo, he pushed him, or shlich alav kol kli, or he dropped a keli on him, without sediyah, without a kavanah, let's say. Tarabana, you might explain all the words. In befeta, suddenly he got him. What do you mean suddenly he got him? Prat le keren zavit. It's coming to exclude a case if the horeg, the murderer, was turning the corner to make a right. Or left, whatever it is, and he's holding a knife like this. And another guy walks into the, turns the corner, and walks. He didn't see him. That's why he doesn't go to Galut. It's got to be something that was right. There's no there's no malice over there, or intent. Okay, so in that case there is no Galut. It's like an onus. It's like an onus.
Walking around with a knife.
but I guess he didn't intend to kill the guy. It has to be a little intention over here.
He didn't see him coming.
He didn't see him coming. There was no mechlal over here.
Turn the corner.
It's two ways of learning it, by the way. There's always going to be two ways of learning in all these cases over here. One way is going to tell you he's a posheya. So Poshaya doesn't go to Galut, because what are you walking around with a knife like that for? And another will sit down and tell you, what do you mean? You don't got to expect it, it's honest, he's holding his knife, and you don't got to expect the guy in the corner is going to turn right into his knife. So either way, you don't fit the model of Shogeg. Yeah, let's call this guy Poshaya. Poshaya, you're too guilty. It's a very fine line to go to Galut. There has to be a specific scenario. Even though technically the guy didn't intend over here, because I don't want to kill the guy. What are you walking around with a knife like this, turning corners? You have to know that there's a possibility over here. Okay, good. So that's that. Bino eva prat lesoneh. Okay, can we know animosity? But if there was animosity by these two guys already, so then you can, maybe he's intentional already. Hadafo shidahafo begufo. Hadafo means you pushed him with the body. Shalom with kaven, without kavanah. You would have thought maybe when you push him with the body, it's mezid. It's not. If he didn't have kavanah, he pushes him with his body, it's still considered shogeg. Or shlich alav, lavi yiridashi letzorech aliyah. Oh, what is yiridashi letzorech aliyah? He wanted to, let's say, hit with the gerzen. Gerzen is the axe. So you have to swing it. So he has to go down in order to get momentum. Right? He can't just go straight at it. So he goes back. Yirida. Letzorich aliyah. In order to heap forward to gain momentum. So when he went back, the axe fell off and he went and killed somebody on the way down. So there the Hadush is, even though we learned earlier, it's got to be Derech Yirida. Hadush over here is, if it's a Yirida, Letzorech Aliyah, it's also going to be Hayav Lavi. Lerabot, it's coming to include the case of a Yirida Shetzorech Aliyah. Belosidiyah means he didn't have really intention over there. Prat le mitkaven le sadze and halchala le tzadacher. Between to exclude a case where he threw the rock this way and the rock went the other way and killed somebody, that's already onus. That already came mechayev him. If he threw it to the destination that he wanted to and it killed somebody over there, b'shogeg, then we could go to galut. Mashiach, if he threw the rock straight and it veered away to the left and it went out of his guidance, so he's going to be patur in that case over there. Go one more line. No, actually, just read the Rashi's for a second. That's it. We just got to read the Rashi's over here. Befeta, third line. Prat tekerin zavit. Shelashon peta hu besamuch. Okay, peta means close. כדמתרגמינה, בתקיף, פרט לקרן זווית, אם היה זה יוצא במבוי זה, וראה זה לפנות ימין או לשמאל וסכינו בידו, וזה בא כנגדו, בקרן זווית, לא ראהו והרגו. שנעבור בגופו ולא מתכוון. להביא ידע שצורך על יד גאון, הרוצה להרים ידו בכוח וגרזם בידו בשפיל תעלת גופו, ושוחל לפניו כדי להרים בכוח ובשפלתו, הרג. ללא תמה הוא יהיה וצורך עלייה, הוא פטור מגלות לא כתיב ויפל, כי בלא צדיה לשון צידות שלא נכוון לצד, בלא צדיה לשון צד. He wasn't mitkaven for this sad, and the Iraq went on another sad. Gemara continues. Vasher lo tzada. This is also a pasuk that it's talking about. These are the people that go to galut. Lo tzada. He did not mitkaven to throw the rock where he did. Tzad is close to him. He didn't mitkaven to throw it close to him where he was aiming. So the Gemara says, "Prat mitkaven zok shtaim v'zarak arba." It's coming to exclude a case where his intention was to throw it close to him, shtaim, and it ended up going arba. It's gonna be patur if he kills somebody because that's onus. His kavanah was not the only mitkaven to throw two, and it went four, so it's considered onus. He's not going to be hayav galut. V'asher yavod re'ehu bayar, says, and he comes and he meets his friend in the yar, in the forest. So the Gemara is Doresh. What does that give me? A case of Ya'ar to teach me Ir Miklat. Ma Ya'ar Rishut the Nizakul Mazik Likanes Lesham. Just like the forest, there is permission for the Mazik and the Nizak to be there. Both of them are allowed to be there. Afkod Rishut the Nizakul Mazik Likanes Lesham. So too, the law of Galut only applies to an area where both the Mazik and the Nizak have a permissibility to be there. Okay? And the Gemara is going to explain all these cases. Now we have a question. Ba'a mine Rabbi Abu Rabbi Yochanan. Ya'a Oleh Besudam. Okay, interesting question. We learned earlier in today's Gemara that what? We have a Gezerat HaKatuv that says Vayepel Alav Yamut. You only Hayav Galut Derech Nefila on the way down. So it comes Gemara and asks Haya Ole Besudam. Guy's climbing up a ladder. V'nishmat Hashiriba Metachtav V'nafla V'harga Mahu. And he stepped on the rung. As he stepped on the rung came loose, fell down, and killed the guy underneath. Ki Hagavna Aliyahi O Yiridahi. The rung. So how do you consider it? Is it Aliyah? Because he is going up. So then you consider it Aliyah, therefore there's no Galut. Or do you say that since the rung, he's stepping on it, it's going down, so it's considered Derech Yirida. Now you can ask a question. What do you mean? We learned already a Yirida Letzorech Aliyah is Hayav. So this is a Yirida Letzorech Aliyah, but it's a little different. Because Yirida Letzorech Aliyah is two separate motions. For example, you're taking the axe, you draw it back, that's Yirida. That's Yirida, you go down, and then you're going up, the Sorech Aliyah. It's two separate motions. Here, you're doing it simultaneously. You're doing the Yirida and the Aliyah together. As you're pushing down, you're catapulting yourself up. So it's Yirida and Aliyah biyachad. So the Gemara wants to know, when you make a Yirida and Aliyah in a simultaneous move, what's going to be the deen if it broke? Amarle, so he told him, so who's asking this question? Rabbi Abu is asking for Rabbi Yohanan. Amarle, keva nagata, birida shi letzorech aliyah. So he tells him, oh, you're touching the subject. You're touching the subject of yirida letzorech aliyah. Kananeh, he understood that what? This is considered the same situation. His question was, it's being simultaneously, maybe it's a little different. No. It's considered yirida letzorech aliyah, and therefore it's going to be hayav. Good. Etive, we have a question. Zayaklal, we have a question from our Mishnah. So you tell me now, this case is hayav hadush. Simultaneous, you're going up and down, you're going aliyah ירידה לצורך חדיה, you're going down, pushing yourself, you're high up. So give me a question. Enti vezai klal, amishna. Kol she bederech yirida to gole. Anything that's bederech yirida, the Mishnah said, gole. Shelo bederech yirida to, eno gole. If it's not derech yirida, you're not gole. So give me a question. Shelo bederech yirida to, la'atu yemai. What is shelo bederech yirida to coming to include? If it's not derech yirida, it's patur. What case? Lav le'atu yiki ha'gavna. So he says, Rabbi Abu, must be is coming to exclude this case. That if include this case, which is what it says, you don't go to Galut, Derech Yirida, if it's not Derech Yirida, it means even if it's a Derech Yirida, Letzorech, Aliyah. So for Rabbi Yochanan, you see, Rabbi Mishnah, you're wrong. You came along and said that there's this type of stepping on the ladder and going up and the thing goes down, it's Hayav. What do you mean? Our Mishnah is coming to exclude that case. Because what did our Mishnah say? Kol she'eno Derech Aliyah, Patur. Well, what's it coming to include? Meaning, even if, of course, you're not derech yirida, even if you're going up and the thing goes down, like in the case of the ladder, it's coming to say you're patur. So he comes back to Rabbi Yochanan and says, what do you mean? V'letameh, kol she bederech yirida to da'atu yemai. How do you learn this? The resha of Mishnah. The resha of the Mishnah said, kol she bederech yirida to, anything that's derech yirida is chayav. What's the call coming to include? Must be coming to include this case. Which means, if you're learning that Kol she'eno derech yirida is coming to exclude a ladder case. So then, what's the kol she'bederech yirida? What ladder case is that coming to include? Which means whatever this is excluding, this has to include in the same scenario. And therefore, you have nothing to include in the ladder case because you know the ladder case is indeed patur. So what's the kol she'bederech yirida go there then? Well, what case is that? Ela, you know what? Really, I'm right. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Derech Aliyah, Yirida, Letzurich Aliyah." In the latter case, Hayav, and the Mishnah that talked about Yirida, Hayav, and not Yirida, Patur, it's coming to exclude nothing to do with ladders. It's coming to exclude totally different cases. Ela la'atuye katzav. It's coming to bring the case of the katzav, the butcher. Hachanam la'atuye katzav. So to the sefer, it's coming to exclude the case of katzav. What's the case of katzav? The Tanya, katzav. Shaya Mekatzev, four braitot over here. They have a katzav, he has an axe. He's chopping the meat, let's say, right? So we have a braita. Tana hada lefanav hayav lacharav patur. One braita says, lefanav, if he's going in front of him, if the axe is going in front of him, right, towards the thing he's hitting, so lefanav hayav lacharav, if it's going back, patur, that's one. Vetanya idach lacharav hayav from the patur. Another brayta, exact opposite. Acharav is chayav and lefanav is patur. Tanya idach ben lefanav ben acharav chayav. Tanya idach ben lefanav ben acharav patur. So you have all scenarios covered. Chayav patur, patur chayav, chayav chayav, patur patur. So now the Gemara's got to answer. How could you reconcile all these cases over there? Velakashya. That's not a question. Okay, that's not a question. Kan birida shelefanav ve'aliyah shel acharav. Stop. That's brayta number one. Birida shelefanav. Birida, meaning you're going in front, you're cutting the piece of meat, let's say. So yirida lefanav, you're going down. So you're going down, derech yirida, it's chayav. Ve'aliyah shel acharav. Acharav means you are, before you go down, you're going up. You're lifting the axe up to get some momentum, let's say, right? So aliyah le'acharav, as you're going behind you. So let's say you killed somebody going up. That's going to be patur. So therefore, lefanav is yirida, and acharav is aliyah. That's the first braita that says, yirida, lefanav is chayav, and aliyah is going to be patur. Kan ba'aliyah shelefanav yirida shelacharav. Second braita is the exact opposite. Kan ba'aliyah shelefanav. Aliyah lefanav means, let's say the axe is in front of you, and you're lifting it up. So aliyah shelefanav, if it's in front of you and you're going up, you're going to be patur. V'yirida shelacharav. Yirida shelacharav is the axe is behind you and you're going down. So basically, the answer always is going to be direction. Always when you're going to go up, it's going to be patur. Always going to be down, it's going to be a hayav. Sometimes down, it's in front of you. Sometimes down is behind you. Sometimes up is in front of you. Sometimes up is behind you. That's all the cases are. Kan birida shelefanav. Now v'shel acharav. Can be yiridash lefanav. Yiridash lefanav is yiridash lefanav is going down. Veshel acharav, and behind you, when you're putting it back, you go all the way back, It goes up, and then all of a sudden it starts to go down again. So therefore, when it's Yiridash Lefanav and Yiridash Laharav, it's going to be Hayav in both cases. Kan ba'aliyash lefanav v'shel acharav. And then you have aliyash lefanav, that's when you're going up in front of you. And then when it's aliyash lacharav, when you're going forward, shel acharav, also it's going to be hayav. So therefore again, basically the Gemara's answer is, before you go back to Mishnah, you have four cases of katzav. Actually, you know what? Let's just read all the answers in Rashi. He says it very clearly, like I told you. We'll read Rashi, she's going to say. Haki Garcina, you see a big Rashi there, Haki Garcina? Can be Ridash the Fanab, Alian Shaharaf, Kam Alash Ravidal Shaharaf, Kam be Ridash the Fanab Shaharaf, Kam Alian Shaharaf. Call Derek Aliyah Patur, that's the rule. Anytime it's Derek Aliyah Patur, Veho Derek Irida Hayav, finished, that's the rule. Il Kaha, the Tanya, the Fanab Hayav, the Harab Patur, be Ridash the Fanab, Valiyah Shaharaf, his spiel zero, he extended his zeroa. In order to lift it up, bekoach, ve'elim mikoach lefanav. So behashpalato hayav, which means when he's lowering it in front of him, he's lowering it. Doesn't have to be in front of him necessarily. Lefanav means he's going down. When he's going in front, going down, so he's going to be hayav. Harag ba'aliyato la'charav patur. But as he's going up, lifting the thing up, the axe up, he's going to be patur. It's derech aliyah. The second bright, it's Harav Hayav, Lefanav Patur, Ba'aliyah Shelefanav. That's when he has Aliyah in front of him. Viridashav, go on, Hamirim Yado Bekoach. He's lifting his hands Bekoach. Ad Shishpilo Derech Achorav, Mimal Ketefav, which means he lifted it so much, the axe so fast. Ad Shishpilo Derech Achorav. It jolted behind him. He lifted it so fast and it went behind him. Mimalikit Rav Vihozer Vigbihan La Kot Lefanav. So Harag Bashpadato Derek Ahorav Hayav. Which means Bashpadato Derek Ahorav, when it started to go, Derek Hashpada going the other way down, it's Hayav. Harag Bagbato Patuba. When he's going up to put it behind him, he's going to be Patur. بعد تاني بند فرابنا حرف حياة بريداش فرابنا حرف حياة بريداش فرابنا حرف Patur عليه شرف حرف. Now, what does this have to do with? What does it have to do with our Mishnah? That's the question. Basically, the Mishnah is coming to say like this. Our Mishnah gave two statements. One of the first statements of the Mishnah was called Shederech Yirida Hayav. The called She'eno Derech Yirida Patur. What is the call coming to include? The called Shederech Yirida Hayav is coming to include the case of Hayav by the Katsav case. And the called Shederech Yirida Patur is coming to include the Patur cases by the two brightot of Katsav. So both Mishnahs are coming, both parts of the Mishnah are nothing to talk about as a latter case. Really, the latter case, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is Chayav. Unless it's a Yirida Letzorech Aliyah. Oh, so what's the case in the Mishnah talking about? It's talking about these cases of Katsav. And what's the common denominator in all the cases? It all depends what direction the axe is going. Is the axe going on the upswing? Patur. Is the axe going on the downswing? It's going to be Chayav. Let us say that indeed this case of the ladder, going up the ladder and the rung breaking, let us say it's a machloket taneim. Nema ketaneh haya ole besulam. Guy was climbing up a ladder. Vinishmeta sheliba metachtav, and the rung fell from underneath. Tanihada haya v'tanya idak patur. One says hayav galu, one says patur galu. Ma'ila be'akam ipalge. More sevad yidai u'more sevad aliyai. Very good. Simple machloket. The rabbi says hayav galu, learns it's a yidida, and the rabbi that says it's hayav holds it say aliyah. Lo de kuda alma aliyah. Everybody holds that really when you're climbing up the ladder it's considered aliyah. So what's the machloket? V'rakashia. Kan nizakin, kan galut. But I thought we're talking about two different subjects. Le'inyan galut, everybody's going to say he's going to be patur. Because bottom line, they consider it going up the ladder. If you consider going up the ladder, you're patur from galut. Ah, but the bright that said hayav, that's about damages. Le'gabed damages, yahayav ben shogeg, ben mezid, ben aliyah, ben yirida. The only discussion that we have between Aliyah and Yirida is in Yan Galut. But Yan damages, a person is obligated on any way he damaged. So that's the answer of the two rabbis. Both rabbis really agree. One is talking about Galut, is going to be Patur, because it's considered Derech Aliyah. And one is talking about the Zakin, is going to be Hayab, because it's last time you damaged in any which way you did. Iba etema, another answer. Habehal Galut. I can answer both, but I thought of talking about Galut. Vela Kasha. Had the Itla, had the Lo Itla. It's talking about, one bright is talking about where the wrong became wormy. Once it became wormy, so now it's shaky. So therefore, when the person steps on the rung, even before he catapults himself up, already it went down before he went up. In that case, it's going to be hayav, because everybody will hold that's considered a yiridah. Because the yiridah took place before the aliyah, because the rung already was shaky, because it was decayed. And the brayta that said, yeah, patur from galut is lo itla, it's a solid, strong rung. So therefore, it only fell after he pulled himself up. It fell down from beneath. So give me patur, because aliyah. He baitema, ha vehad, lo itla. I can tell you the Gemara's take both cases to my way. It wasn't decayed, the rung. Is it fastened well into the holes or not? It's not wormy or decayed. If it's fastened well into the sockets on the side, so therefore when you step down on it, it's not going to go down until you lift yourself up. Oh, that's considered aliyah, patur from galut. But if it's not fastened well, even when you step on it, before you put yourself up, what happens? It moves. So therefore it's going to be hayah. So those are, you cannot bring a ra'ayah from these two rabbis that it's a machloket. Even though the Yohanan himself said hayav galut, but you cannot bring a ra'ayah from over here that indeed is a machloket. I could say everybody over here really will say that it's considered an aliyah, and because of the different scenarios that we have. Either was talking about nizakin, either was talking about it was hetliyah, or was talking about it was lo mehudak.